This week ushered in the traditional spring season, but for some reason, we Americans have always seemed to give short shrift to May Day. Perhaps it's because for years it was associated with the Communist Party and long parades of military might in Russia's Red Square. But politically speaking, I think it goes back much farther than that, to our puritanical forefathers, who frowned on the frolicking that took place during the ancient rites marking the first day of May. Relatives of those dastardly druids, after a long, hard winter of work and no play, insisted on welcoming in warm weather with fun, flowers, and feasting, all pretty much on the no-no list of people who wrapped themselves in drab and developed frown lines before the age of puberty. So the Puritans left the party early and came to America, where they could better control the frivolity of useless entertainments like dancing around a maypole or wearing garlands of flowers to celebrate the end of gray and the beginning of green. Meanwhile, back in the British Isles, some of the traditions born of those early pagan rites lived on and are still celebrated today. Early maypoles consisted of a sizable tree trunk, trimmed of its lower branches and wrapped with flower garlands and colorful ribbons. In addition to maypole dancing, in certain areas of England, men still perform Morris dances, featuring animal headdresses and darkened faces, and so named because of their historical link to the Spanish Moors. Many communities elect a Queen of the May during the annual festivities, and in a country known for its gardens, the beginning of a new season of growing things is celebrated with a fervor that many of us in America have forsaken. One tradition does seem to live on here, although it too seems to be giving up the ghost as our lifestyles become more harried and there seems to be less time for communal living and giving. When I was a child, my mother and I made May baskets, simple affairs often fashioned from a cardboard box or a paper sack and filled with grass and what few flowers we could find in our somewhat meager front yard. On the morning of the 1st of May, we would place them on neighbors' doorsteps, knock, and then quickly run away to observe from a distance as the resident opened the door and found the simple gift. There are still school teachers and scout leaders and church workers who introduce the making of May baskets as a craft project for kids, but the tradition seems to be fading. I'm sure it all has to do with shortages of time to do those things, and shortages of neighbors who stay home during the day and are there to leave the basket or to open the door and find it. I hope it doesn't have anything to do with a shortage of gardeners, although I suspect that for all the garden centers and landscaping places and outdoor leisure time supply outlets that crop up every spring, there are probably fewer people actually producing something from the soil. That's why I enjoy writing and sharing these Growing on the High Plains visits. And so this week, please consider this program your own personal May basket, from me to you, as we embark on another gardening season together.